Welcome again to Meditation Moments. God bless you and give you a profitable day. A day lived in the consciousness of God's presence is bound to be profitable. Now, you've often heard the expression, the cold gray dawn of the morning after. And that's what it is for some this morning, the morning after election night. I'm sure there are many like myself that are glad this stormy battle is over. But there are many also who are disappointed today. Your choice for president didn't win, but others are delighted because they worked hard and the man of their choice won. You know, as I've watched and listened the last few weeks, I couldn't help but note the motives behind the choosing of candidates. With some, it was a selfish motive. With other, it was a well-informed conviction that his choice was the man best qualified for such a high place. Such a choice should have been made only after one was thoroughly informed about all the issues involved, and then deliberately and seriously thinking it over and pray, as some have done, then to have voted. You know, choice at some critical period of life is always a serious thing. A young man called me this week for an appointment. He wanted prayer and counseling about marriage. He felt that his decision would determine his future happiness and usefulness. He was torn by conflicting motives. He loved her intensely, but she was not a Christian. He is a Christian, and he felt that his decision might also determine his eternal destiny. The poised scale quivered between human love and love of God. And at last she averred that she would never be a Christian. And so the scale turned on the side of duty to God, and he made his choice. He took God alone. But you know, it's sweet that at the last love did speak out these words. He told her, "I'll go on to my mission field alone, but I will always wait and pray, knowing God can change your heart." Another young man came, and this was many years ago, and you've read about it in God's Word. He came against even a greater choice, and he's one of the greatest characters I consider in all history. Moses was a young man. You know, Solomon was known for his great wisdom, and Isaiah for his vision, and David for his psalms, Peter for his zeal, but Moses was great because of the choice he made. It was such a mighty decision. We read it here in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, where his name is enrolled among the heroes of faith in God's honor gallery. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the children of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Oh, isn't that a wonderful scripture? You read that 11th chapter of Hebrews today if you have a chance. Moses, who had as a babe been drawn from the bulrushes by Pharaoh's daughter, was reared in her father's palace. Oh, there was such wealth and every luxury. But when he came to age, he had to come face to face with the king, who challenged him to make a choice now. He must choose to forsake his own people because he was a son of Jacobed and the blood of Levi flowed in his veins. He was a Hebrew, not an Egyptian, and Pharaoh demanded that he declare himself now. Will he cast his lot with his alien mother and be true to Egypt and wear the crown of the Pharaohs? Or will he choose his own people? Oh, what a crisis hour it was for this young man, Moses. Just picture it this time as he climbs to some high place and looks at the lights of the palace as they twinkle out from the imperial city. The palace with all its riches and beauty, the things he had been used to all his life. Then he looked south at the pyramids, and as he did so, he saw the glow of the brick kilns where his own people, slaves of Pharaoh, were making bricks. And as they dragged half-starved and moved at the sound of the slave driver's whip, Moses' heart burned within him. They were his people. And the same blood ran in his veins. And then they were also God's people. But if he chooses to be one of them, he must forget all the comfort and luxury he has always had. wear the hated garb of the slave and renounce forever the only mother he had ever known, Pharaoh's daughter. But he made his choice, and he chose rather, as God's word says, to suffer affliction with the children of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, these pleasures of sin, spoken of here in the Bible, were more tempting than it appears by this mere statement that he refused to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, because Egypt was at that time the most attractive spot on earth. Her granaries were bursting with grain, and the wealth of the world poured into her treasury, and Moses was the heir to it all. From the possessions of the mightiest empire on earth, he would have to turn to just slavery. And Moses was wise. He had been educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He knew exactly what such a choice would mean. He wasn't turning that way through any ignorance of just what it meant. But he was not only educated and wise, he was far-sighted. And that's what I really want to talk to you about. This far-sightedness that's willing to sacrifice for the future gain. For God's word says he had respect unto the recompense of reward. In other words, he knew that the pleasures of sin were only for a moment, and the future recompense of God's reward was for all eternity. He believed that without God's favor, a millionaire is only a pauper. Now it is said of Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. And this was a choice that Moses had to make. The choice that Moses embraced, entailed poverty and suffering and terrible humiliation. But he'd rather be the least of God's children here without an earthly crown and wear a diadem forever over there. And so he took a stand with God's children, that he might stand with them before the eternal king over there. Oh, what a choice. That's why his name's enrolled here in God's gallery of fame, this 11th chapter of Hebrews, where it says, by faith Moses, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, and so on. You know the chapter, and his name is there shining amongst them. In 2 Peter 1:9, it speaks of a people who are blind and cannot see afar off. So many are like that today when they make their choices. They can see only the present. They sell out the future for the present. So many that are blind spiritually to the great recompense or reward that God has. They have spiritual nearsightedness of the soul. Standing with Moses on the steps of the palace, it looks like a foolish choice. But standing on the steps of the throne of God over there, as Moses looks back, oh, what a wise, what a glorious choice it was. He became one of the world's greatest leaders. He led a strange band of people, a long journey. But oh, what a story it is. His name has gone down in history, and men today rise up and call him blessed, and his influence reaches to this very day. I wonder about your choices today. Myopia is a disease. That is, it's an affliction of the eyes. It's a Greek word, myopia, and it means nearsightedness. I wonder if you have spiritual myopia. You're not far-sighted, or you're living mostly for the present, and you don't keep your heart and eyes on the great recompense or reward. The Lord says if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Are there pleasures of any kind that are blinding you to that far look where there's the great recompense? The realities of eternity are pleasures forevermore. Oh, God, who loves you, has made great plans for you and for your life. Are you making your choice? Does the time come some evening when you can read your Bible? Instead of that, you just look at some television program. In the morning, when you could start your day with a real season of prayer in the presence of God and get his leading for the day, but you just sleep a little longer. They're little choices, it seems, but oh, they're big after all. And myopia does take over. You're not far-sighted. Better the sacrifice now, dearly beloved, and the glory afterwards. God loves you, and God has planned so much, so very much for you. Won't you take his way? Live him, the word. Trust him to work it all out for your good and his glory. make your choice. And he's still on the throne. Prayer changes things and will change them for you.